You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
New Zealand and the United States are the only two countries in the world that allow pharmaceutical companies to advertise their products directly to consumers.
The thing about DTCA is that it focuses adverts not on the prescriber, but on the consumer. So consumers are encouraged to request a prescription from their doctor in order to get these things supplied to them. So this creates pressure on doctors and also pressure on the health budgets, because usually DTCA is focused on newer and branded medicines that have a cost premium. So there's no doubt that the health spend is stimulated by DTCA. So that's one set of concerns. The other one is really about the risk for harm when patients ask for something that either they don't need or is perhaps what they do need, but a more expensive version of what might be available in a cheaper or generic form. So lots of potential harms, both in terms of economics and in terms of impacts on personal and population health.
And growing up, I always thought that it was normal to see drug advertising on screen. River, it was a question of having your NPHAL Plus today?
In everybody's digestive system, there's a balance of good and bad bacteria. But everyday diet and lifestyle factors, fatty foods, alcohol, and some medications can throw out this balance.
Have you had your NPHAL Plus today?
Or seeing Avigra ads. As an example of prescription crisis.
Okay, guys, here's a question. What's the difference between this little blue diamond pill, which is Viagra, and this one, which is Avigra? The answer is price. That's all. You see, Avigra is the more affordable version of Viagra. It's made by the same people who developed Viagra. It even has the exact same active ingredient. It's just that Avigra costs a lot less. Ask your doctor and pharmacist for Avigra by name. If it's right for you, a sample may be available from your doctor.
And there's much, much more. It always perplexed me to see such advertising growing up. And like I understand, on one hand, informing the public on options to access remedies for their pain is important. But is it being communicated in the best way, especially considering that other nations don't follow this approach? Until a couple of years ago, I was unaware of the ban on pharmaceutical advertising outside of New Zealand and the United States. Whenever the side effects of a particular ad popped up, despite not being the target audience for said drug, it always filled me with a sense of existential dread. New Zealand ads typically display side effects in a small black text box on the bottom of the screen and are never directly discussed by advertisers, making it very easy to miss. In the United States, direct-to-consumer advertising had initially been illegal, but relaxing restrictions saw the rise of pharmaceutical companies taking charge over their advertising practices and focusing on the new products onto the market. But in New Zealand, it is a different story. It has never been illegal. The original Medicines Act never accounted for advertising practices, and this has been a struggle to repeal these provisions in the last 20 years.
Direct-to-consumer advertising, we abbreviated as DTCA, has been with us for more than 20 years now. I think it actually got its start in the early 90s, but really developed during that decade. So we've had it in full flower, if you like, for at least the last 20, 25 years. It basically became a thing in the U.S., and it has really developed there beyond anything that's been seen here. But New Zealand has its own version of that. I guess you could call it a DTCA light in comparison to the States anyway. And partially that's because we're a relatively small market at the bottom of the world, but we've also got Pharmac, which changes the picture quite a lot as well. So I think DTCA is an important issue here, but the magnitude of its impacts are certainly less here than they are in the USA, which is the other Western country which has a legal allowance for it to occur. Most other Western countries, UK, European Union, Canada, Australia, none of them allow it. And the reason for prohibiting it are a multiple. Partly it's to do with cost containment, and partly it's to do with preventing harm, because I think there is now ample evidence that, particularly with regard to advertising prescription medicines as opposed to over-the-counter medicines. I think it's important to make that distinction. Ones that you need a prescription for from a doctor or another authorized health practitioner are generally available on prescription only when they've got a serious risk of harm if used improperly or inappropriately.
The current legislation allowed for pharmaceutical companies to utilize print, radio, the internet, and TV, amongst other streams, to push their products out to patients. And through these channels, there are multiple types of marketing tactics. Direct-to-consumer pharmaceutical advertising has been geared towards undiagnosed patients, those that should raise questions to their doctors about whether they should be medicated or not. But this line of thinking has led into an uptick in prescribing medicines, and with the prevalent amount of misinformation floating out there, it is leading to the wrong prescriptions being dealt out. The question of banning pharmaceutical advertising in New Zealand isn't new. In 2019, there were renewed calls for the Therapeutic Medicines Bill to be toughened. Based on Consumer New Zealand survey, which indicated that 57% of Kiwis favour an independent health info service that provides advice on treatment options over medicine advertising. And those stats also revealed that 8% of those surveyed believe that said ads provide an unbiased and comprehensive information lock about treatments. And 15% of those surveyed actually admitted that a ban is unnecessary.
Yeah, there's a number of reasons Consumer NZ wants a ban on this type of advertising. Firstly, we don't think they provide all the information required for consumers to make an informed decision. For example, some of these products advertise on TV over such a short period of time, the fine print's really tiny, so even with the best eyesight, then consumers are not able to read any possible side effects. And we're also concerned that it can lead to the increase of unnecessary prescribing. You know, doctors may become pressured to prescribe these products, and in some cases it may be that other interventions such as lifestyle choices may be a better option. And of course there's the cost. If a consumer sees an ad, they go to their GP, that incurs a cost, and then there's also the cost of actually getting the medicine as well.
And the calls that Consumer New Zealand have made also include...
When we last surveyed consumers in 2019, the majority, 50% of them, wanted a ban. Only more, 15%, wanted these ads to continue. And they also, these consumers didn't share the drug company view that these ads helped inform them. And they also felt that drug companies would be advertising the drugs that gave them the most profit. So that was an interesting finding. We don't have any more recent survey data than that. But, you know, it's also important to note that the majority of these public health organisations also support a ban on advertising, and I mean, they're the ones that are, you know, potentially prescribing them.
Government reviews of the Therapeutic Products Bill have previously taken place in 1998, 2000, 2006, and 2019, and all of these reviews have kept the status quo. In 2006, Dr. Annette King, then Health Minister, had called for a ban, but struggled to muster the support at the time needed for it to go into effect. And historically, the Labour Party has advocated for a ban, as evidenced by Annette King's efforts back in the day. But the stance that Health Minister Andrew Little has taken, informed based on the research presented to him, that the harms that DTCA exhibit are inconclusive, and that it would be a challenge to change DTCA legislation, but it is being considered.
Therapeutic Products Bill, it's still being put together, so I don't expect to introduce that to Parliament till towards the end of this year. But right now, we have a regime largely under the Medicines Act that deals with this. I know this is a bit of a fraught issue. One of the policy considerations is whether we change the current policy that we have on direct-to-consumer advertising of pharmaceuticals. The advice I've had is that there are competing views from the research about whether or not direct-to-consumer advertising has a negative effect, you know, causes people to seek prescriptions that they don't otherwise need, or puts undue pressure on prescribers like doctors and what have you. The advice I've had is that it's inconclusive. One of the things is that direct-to-consumer advertising does is at least raises awareness of therapies or treatments that are available and allows, at the very least, people to have a conversation with a doctor or a pharmacist. I think the other thing is that if we were to change that, you know, one of the hurdles we have to deal with in legislation now is the New Zealand Bill of Rights Act. One of the rights there is the right to receive information. It's part of the freedom of speech thing. It would be difficult to justify curtailing advertising of pharmaceuticals on the basis that, according to the research so far, it is at least inconclusive as to whether or not it is causing harm.
And Dr. Shane Retty, the National Party Health spokesperson, mentioned to me that it is up to caucus to ultimately make a decision should a consultation arise. But in terms of the research he has observed, he says,
if we look back through some of the history with DTCA, Direct to Consumer Advertising, and against that backdrop of us and the US being the only two countries in the world that allow drug companies to directly advertise straight to consumers, a couple of things in the background that brings us here. First of all, in 2019, Consumer New Zealand wrote to the Minister of Health with a survey showing that the majority of people they'd surveyed wanted direct-to-consumer advertising banned. Only 15 wanted DTCA to continue, and only 3% thought the advertising was very trustworthy. If we go back beyond that, in 2006, the Ministry of Health sought submissions on DTCA. 8 professors of general practice in New Zealand submitted to the Select Committee and to the Ministry recommending that DTCA be banned. Some of the countries that have banned DTCA, like EU and Canada, have had those bans challenged in the courts and they've been turned down, so DTCA is still banned in those countries. British Medical Journal has had a number of articles. Gilbody in 2004 found no evidence of any direct clinical benefit to direct to consumer advertising, and the American Medical Association has repeatedly called for a ban on advertising in the US.
Dr. Reddy also explained the issues that he has seen with DTCA and the arguments presented by the pharmaceutical industry, such as...
The issue here is several fold. First of all, the pharmaceuticals make the argument that they're providing information to consumers. The medical fraternity would say that information is misleading, and in fact all it does is put pressure on prescribers to prescribe in a way that may not be helpful. And in the example being given of where consumer advertising from pharmaceuticals directly to the public here in New Zealand has been misleading, a couple of examples. In 2003, Reductyl, which was a weight loss preparation, was heavily marketed directly to consumers, and then that had to be withdrawn for severe side effects eventually. In 2003, of course, the classical case of Vioxx, which is an anti-inflammatory, that was heavily direct-to-consumer marketed to New Zealanders, and of course then had to be withdrawn due to premature deaths. There's also been some evidence around equity that direct-to-consumer advertising may disproportionately affect the most vulnerable. Some papers out of Dunedin, and I'll just quote from one conclusion, taken together, the findings suggest individuals, especially those who are at risk, i.e. those with poorer self-reported health status, older, less educated, lower income and ethnic minorities, may be more vulnerable to drug advertising and may make uninformed decisions accordingly.
And even medical bodies such as the Royal New Zealand College of General Practitioners have strongly come out in the past backing such a ban. Dr. Brian Betty told me,
we need to make sure the information side of DTCA is, in a sense, preserved and improved. And I say improved advisedly because the main problem with DTCA is that it is more advert than it is information. Of course, it's both. Some people talk about infomercials or advertorials. I mean, both of those are pretty reasonable descriptions, but serious issue with DTCA is that almost always there is a commercial element and bias that spins the information, tends to overemphasize the advantages or benefits of the treatment, tends to downplay or neglect altogether the risks of the treatment. And so patients whose information comes from that source are unfortunately getting a bit of a commercial spin on the information that they've got. And so my concern is that when DTCA gets phased out, which ultimately it must, that we absolutely ensure that the public generally and patients have available really first-rate, unbiased information about treatments and their effects, both good and bad, so that with their doctor, they can make informed decisions about what they want.
My bad, Tricia, that was actually Professor David Menkes, correct?
Yeah, he was speaking to me about the past call to action against direct-to-consumer pharmaceutical advertising and their predatory practices. Now it's Dr. Brian Betty talking to me about their ban.
So we've taken a view that we don't think should have been legalised and it shouldn't be legal in New Zealand. We believe there's a number of issues around direct-to-consumer advertising and that essentially the prescribing of prescription medication should be based on a clinical decision in combination with the patient based on the best clinical evidence. So we think that consumer advertising can bring into play things like potential bias, that is the benefit is oversold versus the potential risks of a medication, to actually prescribe a medication that may not actually be clinically indicated. And there are issues around branded medications versus generic medications, and branded medications tend to be pushed quite hard, and that may have a cost implication.
From the conversations that I've had on the topic, it has been indicated that access to information and quality of care is what needs to be improved. The other push from some of the other conversations I've had was for DTCA to be an election issue on both sides, so New Zealanders can show their voice over the coming year on the issue and where they stand. And finally, the other major question that has been raised in my conversations is that it's interesting that we're following the United States on allowing DTCA. I'll have each of the interviews in full on the 95BFM website.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.